The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday on a Thursday with a little special sauce added to it. Expository Thursday on a Thursday. Very original. Plus, we're going to cover the six no-nos of Christian character and also review the three yes-yeses of being like Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. We're hoping the electricity stays simple. Spiritual observations, we need the Lord's help to do that. My life's insanities, that we're even trying this at all. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us to 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That'll be good for any praise reports, any questions, any trivia answers, any prayer requests. We're going to do our best to help in all those capacities. Keep in mind, any topic is basically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Did you hear the show yesterday? It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, the thing that I like to start this show off with of late that's really been helping me, and I hope it's helpful for you, is just reviewing the DNA of a Christian. I know you guys know it. I know you understand it, and you're probably going, Dave, you're driving us crazy. You're driving us crazy with this, but that's okay. For some of you, it's just a short putt, and for others of you, it's a long drive. Here's the bottom line. The DNA for a Christian is D, draw closer to the Lord, and never be ashamed, A, always be ready. DNA for a Christian, draw closer to the Lord, never be ashamed, always be ready, DNA. So a lot of you know that on Expository Thursday, which is normally on Friday, but today is on Thursday, we don't do a lot, or we don't do really any of our live reads, so I just want to give a shout-out to Clint and Mr. Restore. I want to give a shout-out to Kimberly Ellis, for the real estate needs with Fathom Realty, and for our good friend Johnny Hill, who's in charge of Men of God Moving. So let me just say real quickly, if you have any issues for moving, menofgodmoving.com. If you've got any real estate things going on whatsoever, even just questions, reach out to 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. And then our good friend Clint, also MrRestore.com. That's MrRestore.com. Got something really cool. This is going to be expository teaching with a special sauce. Yeah. No, I'm not thinking about McDonald's yet, but now I'm going to start thinking about McDonald's. Before we get there, I just want to go over a couple of the things in history because they're always fascinating to me. Here it is. On this day, for those that don't know, it's Children's Book Day. That can only be a good thing. There can't be anything bad about that. It's Reconciliation Day. Reconciliation Day is when you have kind of an out with somebody, and it's been a long time, and it's kind of useless, and it's kind of ridiculous, which is super funny in lieu of the fact that we're doing an Expository Thursday, and some of the stuff we're talking about is that if you have a anger issue or a division issue with somebody, and you just need to be operating in forgiveness, this is that day that people are called to do that. It's National Ferret Day, which I have no response to and have nothing to say about, but the last two are just superb. The number one thing for me today, it's National Burrito Day. Like, okay, I can buy into that. Plus, especially as a kid, National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. I mean, come on. There's nobody that can have a hard time with that. It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. All right, I do want to say if you can hear me and the sound isn't terrible and it's coming off great, let me know. You're welcome to text 214-210-8483 as we're doing our best. Hopefully we'll be able to keep this going the whole show without having to use the handset. Who knows? In 1866, on this day, the Civil War was declared over everywhere, watch this, except Texas, because we don't give up. It doesn't work that way. We don't stop things that fast. 1902, on this day, the first movie theater opened in the United States. Now, watch this. This is so funny. In 1922, the first airline steward, Jack Sanderson, was actually the first airline steward, began working for Daimler Airways. Now, this is 1922, but in 1935, radar was invented. So my question is, what was that guy doing as an airline steward before there was radar on an airplane? That's all I want to know. And then finally, 1978 on this day, Dallas, the longest-running primetime soap opera, debuted on CBS. You live close there, so you gotta just buy into that and go okie-dokie. Here is something that happened today, kind of the special sauce thing that I wanted to talk about, okay? So I was in prayer, and I've got, for me, I spend a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time in the words. Just I like to do it. I finished up on my PhD paper. I had to cut it down from 22 pages to 15. Don't ask. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. But so I got into my prayer mode, and I'm praying, and I'm, you know, hey, Lord, this stuff's going on, and the people in the audience are going through this, and I'm going through this, and you know what's going on. And I am telling you, it's not that the Lord, you know, his presence manifests or anything like that, but it was like it dawned on me in a split second this amazing, amazing reality. For 1 second, I want you to forget that it's woe is you, that you're the victim, and that everything's going on, you know, in your life, and that you're stuck, and so on and so forth. And I want you to think about this. So bizarre. I want you to think about John the Baptist. I want you to think about Johnny B. And I know you're thinking, okay, Dave, Johnny B, that's the name. Yes, I want you to think about Johnny B. And you think, well, why? And here's why. 5 reasons why. He was called by God, just like you, wasn't he? He was called by God. He was separated from worldly thinking because he was not allowed to function and think the way that the world did, the way that the Romans were creating the culture. He was not allowed to operate in that. Watch this. He was isolated in the desert. He was isolated in the desert. He had what to eat? Locusts and wild honey? Limited supplies. He had limited supplies. And he wasn't hanging out there with anybody. It wasn't like there was some big party and they were all getting together. You're talking about, people are talking about social distancing. You could not get any more social distancing than John the Baptist was as he was going through the process and God had set him aside. Now, here's what I want you to think. Think what a gift in all of this mess. Think what a gift God has given you and I that in truth, we can barely touch the level that John the Baptist went through. But in when him going through that process, God was preparing him for his best ministry. Did you catch that? God set him aside, separated from the world. He was called by God. He knew he was called by God from early on, right? From birth, right? Isolated in a desert, low supplies, no company, nobody hanging out with him. They weren't playing Parcheesi. He wasn't sitting there, you know, I mean, if he was playing solitaire, it'd be amazing because he was the first. And think of all of the prophets and the prophetesses from God that have had to separate themselves and be in a form of isolation on their own. And all of that preparatory, isn't that great? All of that preparatory for the best ministry that he could operate in. And we think, well, you know, that doesn't really apply. Everything in that book has a touch to you and I. Everything between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21 has a touch. Everything in the 39 books in the Old Testament and the 27 in the New Testament has a touch to our lives. And the example of John the Baptist and of other prophets, literally, God literally, in some cases, completely isolating them. And in his case, he was out in the wilderness by himself. And that was all leading up to something so much greater. He was the forerunner, the announcer, the path clearer for the Messiah himself. And we would think, wow, that would be a tough school to go to. And I want to say this right now. You and I, we're not going through that. We're watching this virus. We're pulling it back. We're trying to do the best we can to isolate the wisest we can without giving in to fear. I get it. And I'm with you in all of that. But just think how a little bit you get to touch into what God was working on in John the Baptist. And just think for a second, if you think that this isolation is difficult for you and I, as we have these great forms of mass communication, even now you're listening to me, we have these forms of staying in contact, and we have the internet and cell phones and all that stuff, how would you like to do all this stuff and have zero contact with anybody? No contact. And what's important about that is that that wasn't a negative. Did you hear what I just said? That wasn't a negative. For John the Baptist, that was a positive. And so here's what I want you to catch. Here's what I want you to get. The up and the down, I'm with you in it. The understanding that we don't get it all, I'm with you in it. But for a moment, enjoy the glimpse of being similar and connected to John the Baptist and other prophets and other people of God, separated for the purposes and the ministry of God, and enjoy that connection. Isn't that cool? Oh my goodness, I'm screaming here. This is so exciting. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, get into our expository teaching. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Most of my life, it feels
like I've been running. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still got to do that very strong and bold. Here in Texas. That's what I said. Okay. A couple of things to tell you. We've got a trivia question that we're going to load up for you if you want to try and answer it. It is not a complex one, but, you know, it's one of those things you got to kind of do. And remember, for trivia, I need you to text to 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Ready? What did Esau receive in exchange for his birthright? This was in my devotions today. What did Esau receive in exchange for his birthright? If you think you know the answer, 214-210-8483. We got to go through a few things first, and then I'll respond to the people that answer the question, okay? First things first, website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. I want to thank everybody who has, they have went on the website, and they've given, and it's been a blessing, and I'm not going to be shy about asking for your support in this. For those that have given, I have a great scripture for you that I came across the other day, Genesis 26:12, where God blessed everything that Isaac did a hundredfold. That's my prayer for people that give. That's exactly, I pray that prayer. And so I don't know that the Lord will say yes, but it doesn't hurt to ask. So the bottom line is, if you're a person and you are watching or listening to the show, because you can't really watch it. If you're listening to the show, and the show is a blessing for you, and you want to give, but you can't financially give, no stress, no strain, don't worry about it. Just pray for us. Commit an extra, you know, minute, 2 minutes in your prayer time. Just pray for the show. If you're a person and you can give and you can participate at whatever level, just go to hemustincrease.org and give. It should be a pretty simple process, and if you're not comfortable doing it, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, I desire the prayers of the people more than anything else, because there's more value in you guys praying for me than anything else. And I think of Romans 15:30, where Paul said, join me in my task by praying for me. I mean, that's the way you join something. So hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. That is my email address. I love hearing from people. I respond to every single email, no matter how long it takes, because I love engaging with people. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now we're getting ready for expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's expository teaching. That was you should have heard, because I can't hear it on this end. You should have heard Steve Martin going, wow! Wow. All right. Before we get into Ephesians, there was a bunch of answers on that. A bowl of stew, a bowl of red stew. That is correct. You guys are all correct in that. It was stew, not stew as in stewart. It was stew as in stew, lentil stew. That's what it was. And that's what the scripture says. He despised his birthright. That's where the passage is in Genesis 25. I think it's verse 36. And it's amazing. I'm going to actually do a teaching on that, how in the natural order of things, the birthright should always go to the firstborn. But when God does things, he always uses the weaker and the softer to do the more powerful, something you get out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get into that later on. But let's get into the expository preaching. Okay. We are at the end of chapter 4, all right? And chapter 4 is a pivotal point because in chapter 5, Paul goes deep. This is really the Magna Carta of the church when you come into doctrinal issues. But in verse 31 and 32, at the end of chapter 4, he says this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So the very first thing he says is get rid of it. Get rid of, if you're looking for some kind of perfect connection to understand that, it's throw it out. Okay? When you have food, now I should have known this as a kid. When I had a can of salmon, when I was first got out on my own, and I had opened it up, and I had left it in the fridge for 2.5 weeks, and it had changed all kinds of color, but being a kid, I was too dumb to know the difference, and I picked it up, and I ate it, and I was sick for 3 days. You know what I should have done? Thrown it out. Throw it out. Get rid of it. That's not a waste. That's a ridiculous. So you want to throw this stuff out of you because it's the stuff that can affect you. And here's the things that are listed. So watch this. It's bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. But slow down because I want to break them down. Bitterness. Bitterness is when you keep the scores of wrongs. Bitterness is when you keep the scores of the wrongs that have been done to you. The reason that you're keeping the scores is you feel that you have been unjustly, I don't want to say attacked, but unjustly treated, and you remember that. And people that say, well, I forgive this person, but I'll never forget, actually are not forgiving. They're just operating in this keeping the score of the wrongs done. That's what bitterness is. Watch this. Rage is thymos in the Greek, and it's an outburst of anger. It's short term. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger, but there's something wrong if you have righteous anger every other 30 minutes. There's something wrong if you have righteous anger every time you turn on a television. In fact, some of you should not be turning on a television because it doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. So rage is a short outburst. Bitterness is keeping the scores of wrong. We're supposed to get rid of these things, folks. Anger, anger, the Greek word is orgy. Yep, I know what the world does. I know what everybody's done, but that's the word. And it means to settle feelings of anger. It's the long-term anger. And so there's short-term anger, and then there's other people that are long-term anger. And either one of these, if they're kept or if they're frequented too much, either one of those is bad. Either one of those does not reflect the character of Jesus Christ. It's not that Jesus didn't get angry, but he didn't walk around for 3.5 years angry. And he didn't always stay angry. In fact, we're going to get into the next segment how forgiveness is a major component of this. So you have keeping scores of wrong as bitterness. You have rage, which is an outburst of anger, short term. You have anger itself, which is settled feelings of anger, long term. They're kind of settled into your system. Then you have brawling. And brawling, ready? Brawling is what you see on television. They're noisy assertiveness, shouting matches. They're when people shout back at one another. In a Jewish household, you have to understand that your Thanksgiving is our nightly meal. But the shouting matches go way beyond that. And one time I was brawling with my sister in regards to politics and Christianity and Judaism in a restaurant where every table around us was looking at us like we had lost our minds. The Lord asks us to not operate in that mentality, in that spirit, with that way of engaging with each other, because it comes off as though we're dumb and just brutish. So you don't want to be a person of bitterness. You don't want to be a person of rage, of anger, or of brawling. You certainly don't want to be somebody who's slanderous. And slanderous is when you speak evil of somebody to injure them. If you've ever spoken for the purpose of hurting somebody, that's what biblical slander is. And it's not good, okay? It's not a good thing. All right, now here I'm getting a little feedback here, so I'm pushing a few buttons, trying to just keep it clean. And if to let me know if it gets better. So the bottom line is evil speaking, speaking about somebody to injure them, is not a good thing. And then finally, malice. Malice is ill will or bad feelings. Every time you think of a person, you get bad feelings. There's no compassion. There's no mercy. There's no grace. I know if we're going to be honest, in the political realm, you'll think of certain people, and malice is really there. So my response to that is bring it before the Lord, and regardless of what you think, ask the Lord to help you have a mature, Christ-like character. Because these things, these six things, these are no-nos. These are not okay. And we're supposed to throw them out. We're supposed to throw out bitterness, throw out rage, throw out anger, throw out brawling, throw out slander, throw out malice. We're supposed to not keep scores of wrong, not have outbursts of anger, not have settled feelings of anger, not be in shouting matches, not speaking evil to injure people, and not walking around with ill will and bad feelings. Those are all no-nos, according to the Lord. And we need to walk in a higher level of maturity than that. Okay? All right. These are important things for us, and the reason I'm telling you is the character of Christians matters. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay, he nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are you going to rename the cereal Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We have switched from the headset to the handset. We're going to see if that's going to help us a little bit. And I'm going to talk about that in a split second. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You're welcome to text and say howdy. Or if you think you're feeling pretty strong, pretty comfortable, I'll ask you a pretty simple question. Okay, here it is. Who was the judge who took a Nazarite vow from birth and fought against the Philistines? Who was the judge who took a Nazarite vow from birth and fought against the Philistines? If you think you know the answer, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. So my understanding is it's still a little bit fuzzy, and folks, we're working on it. This is one of the big things to understand is there is a saying out there in society, and what they say is if you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's supposed to be the definition of insanity. That's not the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity is doing something that is wrong over and over and over again, and then doing something wrong, you're going to expect different results. That's what insanity is, according to the DSM book that tells you those kind of things. So we're just going to keep trying, keep going after it. If I have to switch over to the headset, I will. And if it's super fuzzy, I'll have Tiara tell me, and I'll try everything I can do, even if I have to shout it to you from my rooftop to reach you. Okay? That's my goal. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. The email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So, Tiara, let me know if it's still fuzzy, and then I'll pop back in the headset, and I'll do whatever is going to take for us to get it straight, because we're just going to do the best that we can do. And that's how we're going to approach it. Still fuzzy. All right, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to do this live on the air. Okay, nobody move. Nobody move. Don't move. Stay still. Okay, let's see. Can you hear me? Let's see if we can switch that back over. Maybe that does a little bit of something. I don't know. Okay, are you able to hear me? Yes, no, maybe. Okay. Yes, that's good. That's a good thing. Is it still a little fuzzy? Because we're going to try and break through the fuzziness. Because Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear, but Fuzzy Wuzzy shouldn't be here. Get it? Get that? Okay, that's a joke. All right, let's go to the rest. Let's go to the rest of the text. Here we go. All right. So we did verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And now we are going to talk about verse 32, which is be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So there were six things that we found that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to be operating in bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, or malice. We're not supposed to keep the scores of wrongs, the outbursts of anger, the long-term feelings of anger, the shouting matches, the evil speaking to hurt people, and ill will and bad feelings. We're not supposed to do that, okay? That's what we're not supposed to do. What we are supposed to do are three other things, okay? So don't do the six things. Now, here's three things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be kind, compassionate to one another, and forgiving each other. Three things. First, that word be, as simple as it sounds, is genethi in the Greek, and it means become, which means it's a lifetime of progressions. It's a process. You don't instantly become kind when you become a Christian. You don't perfectly become compassionate when you become a Christian. You don't instantly forgive everybody all over the place when you become a Christian. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. We actually engage and become like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, glory by glory. If you're disappointed with your progress, can I tell you right now that you're saying that God doesn't know how to move you along? Don't be disappointed. The Lord is working with you. If you're at a point where you can recognize, if you can understand that you need to be more active, that's the Lord revealing that to you. That's the Lord showing that to you. That's the Lord giving you that insight. And that's a grace from God. That's a blessing that He's trying to help you to become more like Jesus. So what we're supposed to recognize is these are three things that we're supposed to be. And we will be them in process. We will be them as we progress, okay? Here it is. Kind. To be kind is to have a generous attitude. This is going to be tough. A sweet disposition. There's a lot of things that I have in life. My wife will testify. There's a lot of times where I'm kind of a nice guy. A sweet disposition. I have been praying this last entire year to be more kind because kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I am way behind in being kind. Not just generous, just being nice. Just being a nice person who's much more conscious of how other people are doing. I'm telling you, kindness being a fruit of the Holy Spirit is something we should all be striving for. In addition to being kind, we're told to be compassionate, which is esplanchoya. Okay, so it sounds almost Spanish in its own way. Esplanchneo, that's what it is. And it really means inward feelings of affection and tender-hearted. And what that has to do with is remember that scripture in John chapter 11 where Jesus wept? There's a tender-heartedness. Jesus didn't weep for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in a couple of hours. But what did happen is Jesus knew the pain for Martha and Mary and wanted to connect with them. And in connecting with them, he felt that pain, and so he wept. You understand? So, hold on one second. I'm going to give this a... Again. All right, so... Can you hear me now? We're going in and out on all the electronics. I'm hoping you can hear me.
Oh, please tell me you can hear me, Tara.
Okay. So bottom line is we're supposed to be kind and we're supposed to be compassionate, have a tender heart, inward feelings of affection, inward feelings of a weepiness. Additionally, the third thing is be kind, be compassionate, and be forgiving. Forgiveness is the big key for you and I. Listen to me. There's some of you, I know it's fuzzy, I know it's hard to hear, but some of you need this and what I'm about to say. Forgiveness has to do with receiving and giving. You only have to look at Matthew chapter 18 to understand that Jesus taught that we are to receive forgiveness and we are to give forgiveness. But some of you are having a very difficult time releasing the wrongs that have been done to you. I'm not saying that to belittle your pain. I'm not saying that to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm telling you that because not forgiving is causing you as much pain as anybody else. Being a person who doesn't forgive is causing you as much difficulty as anything else in your life. For you and me, we need to be forgiving. We need to be merciful. We need to be people that extend the very thing that God extended to you and me. And I want to say this, and I know it's fuzzy, I know we're having some tech problems, but please hear this. It's got to be from an ungrudging, sincere heart. It can't be fake. It has to be real. You have to forgive from the deepest part of your inside. You have to let it go. You got to stop holding on to the anger. Stop holding on to the bitterness. You've got to stop doing that. Because that's hurting. That's hurting you. And I'm praying, not just for you, I'm praying for me, that I too would have a softer, more compassionate, more forgiving, more kind spirit, and thereby reflect Jesus Christ better. Some of you are living in that bitterness. You don't need to do that. You can let that go and not have it own you. You don't have to be bitter. Okay? Be merciful. Give the mercy that God extended to you. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be graceful. Be like Jesus. If you met Jesus, he could point out any on the road while you're walking, he could point out any of your sins, and he would be right to do so. But instead, he would put his arms around you and let you know how much he loves you. How about that? All right, we're going to take our break here, and then I'm going to try and call back in and try it again on a different line. We're going to try everything we can. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
my privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station, where technology is not my friend. All right, folks. You know you can reach us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You got to text, though. You can't call. You got to text. You got to text. I'm sorry. I probably should have told you that. All right, so here's one of the things we're going to try, because we're not giving up. At every break, I'm going to hang up and call back into the station. And that way, even if we can get 10 or 12 good minutes out of it, it's worth it. We'll just try and make it as good as we can. Here's the bottom line. If you want to help us out, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, place to give. Plus, there's places to put prayer requests so we can help out. David@hemustincrease.org, that's the email. David@hemustincrease.org. Plus, on that hemustincrease.org, there's a form that you can fill out if you don't have an email. He Must Increase Ministry on Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry on YouTube. So here's the next strategy we're doing. It sounds better. I'm getting a bunch of people telling me it sounds better. Every break, I'm going to hang up and call back in. Why? Because we're not going to quit. We just don't give up. And I want to finish what I was talking about. It's crucially important for us to understand this. So this text I'm reading, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I will tell you what is the biggest stumbling block for us doing this, for getting rid of these six things and taking on these three things. Getting rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice, and being kind, compassionate, and forgiving. I can tell you what the biggest problem is. I've already stated it, and I'm going to state it again, and I'm going to read something out of James. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. When we operate in keeping the scores of wrongs, outbursts of anger, long-term feelings of anger, shouting matches, injurious speaking, hurting people with our words, bad feelings, and ill will, we're not accomplishing the righteousness of God. There's a righteousness that's given to you because you are a Christian and the righteousness of Jesus has been thrust upon you. That's justification. And now there's a righteousness that God is working into your life, step by step. That's sanctification. That's where you reflect Jesus in what you say and what you do and how you respond. That's when you move from those six negative things to the three positives of kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And that righteousness God is moving you into as you draw closer and closer to the Lord. The reason that he tells us to do this is going to really freak you out, is because inside of you is the Holy Spirit who enables you, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, to do these things. Instead of walking in the old man, you walk in the new man. And the reason that we should strive and seek to do this is because this is how God treats us through Christ. Instead of keeping our records of wrongs or outbursts of anger or settled feelings of anger or shouting at us or speaking bad to us or having bad feelings towards us, God has a generous attitude, a sweet disposition towards us. He has inner feelings of affection, and he extends forgiveness to us. That all comes from the heart of God. And our goal is to reflect him. So because of what Jesus has done for us, because of what God has extended to us through Jesus Christ, we are encouraged to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, manifesting Jesus wherever we go. Now, I know there's a virus out there. There's a lot of bad things going on. There's a lot of yucky stuff going on. Makes you feel kind of down and depressed. Listen to me. That is no excuse to be less reflective of Jesus. And in fact, it's almost a better witness and a better call to arms than even prior times for you to demonstrate Jesus by what you say and do. And I'm not pointing the finger at you. And not at myself. I am guilty, guilty, guilty of these things. But I also know that I can spend a lifetime of process and progression to reflect kindness, compassion, and forgiveness the way God wants me to. But this all starts, get ready, with a decision for me to be like Jesus. You can tell me all the theology you want. I can give you all the citations. I can show you all the paperwork. I can show you all the theological treaties. This all starts when you say, God, I want to be like Jesus in what I say and in what I do. Please help me to reflect my Lord and Savior. It's at that point, it's at that moment, your partnership with God steps up, and you become a vessel of his compassion, of his gospel, of his graciousness, of his goodness. You become an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many of us are, I'm just saved because I like the life insurance. I don't really feel like burning in the fire. I'm just like, got it. I get that. But that's why people question people who claim they're saved, because they don't reflect Jesus at all. Not that you have to be perfect, and not that that perfection will actually save you. But there's a big difference between being immature in Jesus and growing into maturity. There's a couple of things in my life I am completely mature in, and there's a couple things in my life I am completely immature in. And if I just say that's enough, I'm not doing any more.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Anyway, that's not even the story. Let me tell you the story, because it's so big, I cut the first third yesterday. And that's the front of the house. And the back two-thirds I'll do today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever that is. But it looks really good, all right? That's cool. Anyhow, there's so I'm cleaning it all up, and I've got the little electric weed eater and the
back, because you can't get rid of me. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Got disconnected? I'm right back here. You want to know why? We don't quit. We go on to maturity. We take the next step. We keep moving forward.
It probably sounds really good right now on the phone, but that's because I had to call back in.
Here's the bottom line. Reflecting Jesus is the calling from God in our lives. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you to go to the side with it. I want you to catch it and walk in it in the fullness of power. You are a representative of Jesus Christ on this planet. You can represent his kindness, his compassion, and his forgiveness. You can be that light that makes a difference just in having one right attitude at one right moment. It can have an impact on a person's life and change their direction forever. The reason you're called Christians, another definition for Christian is little Christs. No, I'm not saying you're the Savior, but you reflect Jesus Christ in your walk, in your life, by what you do, and by what you say, by how you are. Take all that stuff in. Let it help you mature in Jesus. We're going to be back on tomorrow and do whatever it takes to keep it going. I hope you're with us in this process. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back for more. Hope to talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.